Hi, everyone. Welcome back to 9 to 5 Mom with the Pod. I am your host, Francesca. And today's guest is Ali Raymer. She was amazing in today's episode. I can't wait for you guys to listen to this because we discussed the challenges and dynamics of being the primary breadwinner in a relationship. And she shared all her personal experiences and insights and also described how she became the sole breadwinner after, unfortunately, her husband lost his job during the pandemic, and highlighting all of the emotional, logistical challenges that this role entailed, including managing guilt, balancing work and family, and also navigating identity shifts. So I can't wait to get into it. Welcome to the show.
It is.
And I sent you something on Instagram. Did you see it?
Yes. Oh my God. That is hysterical. I was watching that video and like, I don't think that I have video proof of my husband doing that, but I will say he is great around the house. So that was just a little extra.
It's basically just a meme. It got a meme on Instagram. It got 24 million views and over 11,000 comments. And the whole gist of the meme, you probably have seen this before, where it says, oh, some guy in the beginning of the video asks, if your wife made $500,000, would you would you let her be the breadwinner? Like, would you quit your job and be like a homemaker kind of thing? And then you see the guy cleaning the house, watching the Kardashians, and like just dancing with the dog and just like having like the best time of his life. Yes. So
he's living his best life. As
living his best life.
I don't know if my husband was that enthusiastic, but he is very good around the house. So yeah.
I saw it this morning and I said, I have to message this to you. I was like, I have to message this to Ali because this is so funny. And I went down this rabbit hole. I don't know if that was the right thing to do. And we were going to talk about this because you're actually going through this as well, being the breadwinner of your home. So I just feel like when I saw this, when I went down the rabbit hole, there were like a mixed reactions about this. Mm-hmm. There was like some people that were like, yes, you know, women being the breadwinner is a great thing. It's an empowering thing. Some husbands really don't mind, don't care. I don't even think my husband would mind and care if I was the breadwinner. And vice versa. Like if he was like the breadwinner, I don't think I would mind either. Like I'll probably just fit in my role. I don't think I'm the proper stay-at-home trad wife, or, you know, I know they're two different things, but I'm just saying, like, I don't think I'm like, you know, the proper one, but I will definitely do my best, you know, in fitting in that role. But yes, so I guess I want to ask you, like, when did you like realize like you were the breadwinner?
It's interesting how it kind of happened to us, I would say. Mm-hmm. So I had been working in my business, you know, I was an entrepreneur and a mom. We had one child, his name's Paxton. And, you know, we had made that work. He was in daycare and all of that. And my husband had a great job. We both worked from home. So we were really flexible. And, I was about 8 months pregnant with our second child. And my husband has like an emergency call with work. They get them all on a Zoom call, about 80 employees, and illegally fire all of them, or let them go, I guess. Illegally, literally, like, benefits ended at midnight. We're still in a class action lawsuit over it. And it was like 2 years ago. So this happened when I'm 8 months pregnant. And I just remember being like, what are we going to do? Because I am in like a commission-based job. Like my paycheck is different every week. Like, I don't know what we're going to do. This is crazy. Cause he was in a much more steady position. And so then we're like, well, let's just see what happens. Like, let's have McLean, my daughter, and just see how it goes. So I took a little bit of maternity leave. He had like an unplanned paternity leave, and he freelanced here and there a little bit. And then we kind of thought about it and we were like, what are we going to do with McLean? Like, we have no childcare plan. I guess we just like really, it was just a lack of planning, honestly. And we just really didn't have a plan. And my business was booming. It wasn't one of those things where I could really care for her and work at the same time, because it was more than a full-time job. And he just said, why don't I just quit all my freelance stuff and that I have going, I won't go look for something new and I'll just stay home and take care of McLean. Like, it's essentially 15 months that we have to survive until daycare starts. And I was like, what? Like, you would do that? Like, you would sacrifice like your career path essentially to do this? And he was like, yeah, like you did it with our son. And because I really did. I mean, I had my son during COVID, so I had no business. And I was bored out of my mind taking care of, I was a terrible stay-at-home mom. Probably I was so bored. But yeah, and I thought, okay, like let's try it. Like let's see what happens. And it wasn't something that I think we would have chosen necessarily, but looking back, it's the biggest blessing for sure.
Well, what's the nature of your business? Like what were you doing then?
Yeah. So it's the same position that I have now. So I'm a senior travel advisor with Picture This Travel. So I do work from home. I'm an independent contractor. I sell travel. It's literally the best job in the world. It's so fun. And I do get to work from home. I do obviously have travel, that I'm committed to as well. But yeah, it was the same thing. And it was just booming because it was 2023. So we were coming out of the pandemic and it was that revenge travel season. Like it was nutty. And I was just thinking like, how am I going to do this? Like, how am I going to manage this, you know, two kids,
right,
and a job. And yeah, it was just kind of an answer that worked for us.
So curious, what actually changed first? And I mean, none of this is planned. I feel like any story that I ever listen to, nothing ever goes according to plan. Mm-hmm. No. I don't even think, even me as a planner, I'm a super planner. I like to plan everything. I've never come across like anything in my life where I said, yeah, that was planned. Like
right.
that was just, it happened just exactly how I envisioned it. But I'm just curious, what changed first in your journey? Was it your income? Was it the role at home or like your mindset? Like what was it?
I definitely think it was, you know, during COVID, I lost my whole business. So I made nothing. So it was kind of like starting from the ashes again after the pandemic, and it was rebuilding everything again. And so it just kind of took off and we could see it coming, you know, with travel, the way that we're paid is kind of like a real estate agent. We get paid that commission on the back end. So I could see the wave coming of like, wow, I'm selling way more than I've ever sold. The commission is going to carry us as long as we don't get another pandemic kind of thing. You know, right. There's a lot of faith in that. And it really was, it was a mindset shift too, of just having the trust and the faith that this is going to work out. That, you know, we'd kind of like, I was like, this whole business has burned down and I've built myself back up. Like I'm unfazed at this point. I think when you've been through something like that, you're just like, let's freaking go. Like, yeah. You're just like walking through the fire, just like, you know, and you got like both your kids. I don't know, something about it. It just felt very like I was fearless at that point because I'd just been burned so bad.
Right. How did being the breadwinner change your relationship? Because yes, you had a conversation with your husband and you were all on board, you know, like on board at that moment. And you're right. Like, yes, we're going to go for it. We're going to do it. This is how it's going to be. But in time, did it get better? Did it get worse or just different? How did that dynamic change over time?
It was an interesting one. At first, I think it worked well. We are probably over communicators. I'll be honest. We kind of talk, having both worked from home, we're around each other a lot. We've worked together in the past. And so we are over communicators. So I do think that that helped. And it wasn't his natural tendency to be he's not a nurturer really. Like, you know, some men are like nurturers. That really isn't his personality.
Yeah.
And that was okay. He kind of like grew into that. And then I was breastfeeding too. So it was like, you know, I'd be like on calls and he'd be like, okay, here, you know, and I'd be like feeding and like doing a call and he would like run around while I was feeding, you know, cleaning up the house. So we did have to over communicate and really figure out like, okay, here's how we're going to shift the roles at home. But it did reach a point, you know, cause this was about 14 months, 15 months that this happened. And I mean, about a year in, I remember getting really like weary you know, and just thinking, I don't want to resent him. Like, he's sacrificed so much. This isn't like his dream. You know, for some women or some men, it's their dream to be a stay-at-home parent and to kind of foster the home and be a homemaker, because that is a full, I have plenty of friends who do it. It's a full-time job. That wasn't his dream. And so I think it was like managing his emotions and his kind of PTSD a little bit from being let go from his job the way that he was. Right. And then also like managing like, okay, this is stressful. Like, I would be like, I felt like I needed to take every single lead so I could get every single commission. Like, I was feeling very clingy, you know, with my work, because I didn't want us to not live the lifestyle that we'd been used to.
I mean, guilt is a real thing also, not the feeling of that I'm not providing enough. We went through that here as well. Actually yesterday, you know, since I quit my job earlier in the year, it's been that you're right, over communication. Yes, I'm doing podcasting, and yes, this sort of brings money home, but it doesn't bring the full-time income that I used to have. So I'm very transparent, and we have to be very clear about that. This is something that is still evolving in time, and there's a lot of sacrifices being made in business, which I relate to what you said. You know, there's, you know, you get so attached to your job because you want to make it work, you know?
Right.
So yes, over communication is key, especially because I can relate to your story. My husband works from home, and I used to work from home when I had a 9-to-5, and then now I'm still at home with my business. So I understand that over communication is key, and that is a fact. Like, and you'll be surprised, couples that stay together, you know, that are together in the same household, don't communicate.
Right.
Many of my friends have that issue in the relationship where they literally cannot, like, they cannot communicate no matter what, no matter if they work from home, no matter, doesn't matter. So over communication is key, and boundaries and guilt, I feel like that's also plays a major role. Did you ever feel, I'm sure, you know, I guess that depends, but did you ever feel guilty about working a lot? You know, like,
yes, it is like the constant. I think even before he stayed home, I definitely felt that way. And then, you know, you bring the second kid in and you're kind of like man-to-man coverage. I don't know how people do more than two kids. It's so impressive. I'm like, bow down to y'all.
I don't I'm a one and done. Don't need to tell me.
You were one and done.
you take the trophy. I've always said any of my friends or people or anybody out there, any listener who has more than two, just take the prize. I'll give it to you. You win.
You win.
Okay. Because I only have one and I'm barely scraping like through, drag. You know, like barely. So you win. Yeah. I don't even need to argue. Sure. We don't need to argue about that.
No, we don't. So yes, I mean, the guilt that comes with like entrepreneur, whatever, the term like mompreneur life is so heavy, you know, and there are times when, I mean, this is like a little story at Thanksgiving. So I work a lot on my computer, you know, I've got this whole setup and I've got my laptop and everything. And my oldest is so used to me working, and I've tried to explain to him like, baby, we get to go on these cool trips because mommy works and like mommy sells travel. Like that's what she does. So we get to go on cool trips, and he understands that at a level. But the other day, I mean, this was just like such guilt. Like I had like tears welling up in my eyes. I went to go put on my out of office before Thanksgiving break. And he was like, mommy, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm putting on my out of office. And he was like, what does that mean? And I was like, that means that people are going to have to wait until Monday for mommy to answer their emails and do work for them. And he was like, so no work for the whole long weekend. You're not going to get your computer. And I was like, yeah, that's right. And he's like, oh, this is the best. And I was like, wow, that's just like a cut. You know, you're just like, that's awful that he thinks that. But I really do try to bring it back to like, I'm serving people and this is why I'm doing this. But yeah, the guilt is heavy. And knowing that I had to be the sole breadwinner, you know, I did feel super guilty. And I felt super guilty for like not doing the things that my mom friends were doing. You know, I would see them, like, social media is the worst, you know, like whatever, doing their like sourdough baking. And I'm like, dang, I've never kept a sourdough thing alive. Like, I don't even know how to do that, you know? And so I would see all their kind of stay at home, work from home mom life. And I'm like, well, all of your husbands are bringing home an income. So you're able to take a break a little bit or pull back a little bit. So yeah, there was a little bit of jealousy of that and definitely guilt for sure.
Thank you for your honesty about that. That's something that not a lot of people will actually admit, because it's true. You know, we try to reach over the expectations of our parents, of even our friends. Like, we will always have that one friend that's like, hey, she's the Nara Smith of the group. He's like, I just made this fresh bread. And you're like, I just finished answering an email. So that's the latest accomplishment that I've had today. You just feel guilty, you know, like, it's like, man, I'm jealous because I kind of wish I could give that to my children. But is it our identity, though?
Mm.
So, and I think that that's an issue today, that we have this conflict of identity, that we tell each other, this is how we're supposed to be versus this is who I am. And that, I guess it's literally those plates like meshing together, they just don't go. And then let's say you do go into the identity that you're supposed to be, right? Let's say you go forward with that and you commit to that, then you end up being a miserable person.
Oh, absolutely. So, I mean, if you try to take on, I know what that was like. I did that before when I kind of started my travel business and it was a side hustle and I had my kid at home and I was teaching. I know what that feels like to spin way too many plates and try to be everything to everybody. Right. And then I got a therapist and I was like, oh, I don't have to do this.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I want to tell you the same thing. Yeah.
Right. Like, and it just kind of was this reality check of like, I'm only going to chase after the things that truly matter, that really build up and affirm who I am and that I'm really passionate about. Because I mean, everybody who knows me knows, like, I am not the woman who's going to like go around and make my house spotless. I never have been, you know, that's just not who I am. So it didn't fit for me to be in that role, you know? And that's okay. Like, I'm just gonna,
can you imagine one day you wake up and you're like full outfit, housewife, baking pan in your hand, and your family, your friends come in, you're like, hey, everybody, go ahead and sit down at the dinner table and I'm going to be serving you fresh bread that I got from the farmer's market today.
So, I think they would think I was an imposter. They're like, who are you?
Like, what is happening here? What is this? What's going on? What's
right.
going on?
Right.
I don't have any issues with it. I think, and again, I think I would have to thank social media for this, but also not thank social media for this. Like, sorry, not sorry situation where, yes, social media sort of put these expectations on us of like, oh, we get to see these type of people, these type of parents and moms who maybe truly their identity is that, and that's okay.
Right.
But
right.
it does put very silently, it puts all the other moms in a position. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be posting about it, but I'm saying that secretly, these moms that are looking at this content who don't have that identity and don't share that identity with you, they might feel resentful. Mm-hmm. So it has nothing to do with the creator, because maybe that is the identity of the creator and that's what they like to do. But also right. at the same time, I feel like social media has also opened the doors for other women or men who have gone on there and be like, man, I didn't know it was possible that I could be this person or that I could mm-hmm. attain this role, because other people are also doing the opposite. So I feel like in your situation, I think it's great that, you know, you found a partner that is confident in you, that is confident in your dreams. There's nothing more beautiful than that. And I right. was having this same discussion on, I was dropping off my daughter this morning, and then on the drive back, I was talking to my husband. I'm like, man, sometimes I forget how lucky we are in a situation right. like this. I forget about it. It's a genuine thing. Like sometimes I am, and I don't like to mess with the universe and be like, oh, I want more. I want more. But to have a partner who can sit there and listen to you, like your partner, mm-hmm. and be like, you know what, babe, let's just take a step don't worry about it. We're going to figure it out. Right. Let's just move forward. I feel like that's something so attainable. I feel like that would be anybody's, mm-hmm. you know,
oh, yeah.
I'm just blessed that my husband is like that. I'm blessed because if I wasn't in that situation, I don't know, you know, I don't even know what the dynamics would be on that at
right,
this point.
Right.
I don't even know.
I'm so what to do. Thankful. Yeah. I'm so thankful for like my husband's humility. Mm-hmm. I think if I ever had those moments of like resentment creeping in of like, oh my God, I'm having to do all the work
yeah.
and bring home the paycheck. You know, it's just reality. Like you're going to feel that resentment sometimes. Right. And if I ever had those moments, I would be like, he has humbled himself so much to sacrifice like his career path.
Right.
And honestly, it's all about a perception thing because I feel like when women do this, it's so normal and so natural for them to take a pause in their career, mm-hmm. raise their babies at home, come back to their career when childcare is available or they go to school. That's like so natural in yeah. our culture. And to overcome that perception of his friends, his family, my family, and just people who, because you know, whenever you're out and about, people are like, oh, what do? And he's like, I'm a stay-at-home dad, you know? And it's like overcoming that. Yeah. I'm like, you humbled yourself so much. So anytime that resentment would creep in, it's kind of the same idea of what you're talking about. Like, okay, let me pause. Let me be grateful, you know?
Yeah.
And understand, like, just put myself in his shoes because we're both high achievers. Like, that's just how we are. That's how we're built.
Yeah.
And I know that took such a toll on his psyche to not be an achiever in that season. And to just be more of a servant, honestly, and like serve our family when we needed it.
I'm glad that you brought all of this up because this is all part of the communication dynamics and also the identities and fears that people have in this topic. Out of curiosity, this is a very touchy one because I feel we're going to talk about money.
Yeah.
What's the one? I know this is touchy. What's that one money conversation that you both tried to avoid at first?
Oh gosh. Oh, okay. I feel like, so he has this, my husband has a podcast and, it's more of like a passion project. It does bring in some money, but sometimes I feel like it would be like a comparison thing. So mm-hmm. he would be taking time to go work on his podcast and, you know, doing things on his computer for that. And I'm like, babe, like this isn't making the same amount of money as like the stuff that I'm doing. You know? And like that sucked. Like it sucked having that conversation and being like, how are we going to invest our time? And it was a realization of all the things that we spend our time doing as parents, you know, when we're taking away time with our kids, it has to be like at some level, it has to be for just yourself and your psyche and your confidence and not just about the bottom dollar. But that was hard because I was like, okay, I have to do this. Like I have to be on my computer. I have to be working. You don't have to be working on your podcast right now, or you don't have to be working on your brand. It's like a really niche NFL thing. So it was like annoying to me because it was like the NFL and like football,
right?
Which I'm not really into either.
Right.
And
right.
So that was a tough conversation to be like, but you're not making the same amount for the ROI is not the same for the time investment.
Was it around your business hours? Is that why it was an issue, like a conflict? Was it because he was trying to work on it at that time? Or
I think it was more like maybe during time that I thought was like family time,
okay.
You know?
Gotcha.
But like
gotcha.
He'd already, to be fair to him, like looking back on it, I'm like, he'd already been with our daughter all day.
Oh, right.
Like caring
okay.
for her. And like, this is his, he needs this mental break, you right. know? Just like any stay-at-home parent needs time to like step away from like the household duties. But I was seeing it as like, well, you should be spending time with us. You know, this is family time. And I'm right. like, oh, well, he literally just spent his 8 to 5 or 9 to 5 with our daughter. That was right. his job, you know? So that was kind of a reality check for myself too.
Never thought about it that way, but it's true. Yeah. Cause you know, you're working all day and then you're like, okay, I'm exhausted. Let's sit down and watch some TV and right. you look over, at least in my situation, you look over and he's on his phone and you're like,
right.
Wait, you're doing? Just looking at him like, are you serious right now?
Yes, that's the dynamic. Like he'd be on his laptop and I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm doing my podcast. And I'm like stuff for my brand. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was probably one of the harder ones, but I mean, I will say we were super blessed in that season. Honestly, like in all the seasons from COVID, you know, 2020, where I made no money, yeah. I'm like, how did we pay our bills? Like, I honestly don't even know.
Yeah.
And then to the season where I was the sole breadwinner, like, honestly, it was just such provision. And the clients that came in and the right. commissions that came in, I'm so thankful. I'm very grateful that it wasn't a situation where it's like we were really having to make a ton of sacrifices with our home or our finances or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit, but honestly,
yeah,
travel was insane. So I'm just grateful that we didn't have to have too many tough financial conversations.
That's wonderful. You know, for everybody out there who's listening, this is a very interesting topic that you brought up about financial conversations, having financial conversations with your partner. Every individual is different, but for the most part, one of the biggest hurdles that people ask me in the transitioning of a 9-to-5 to being a company or, you know, just, you know, being an entrepreneur at something. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest thing is like, man, I don't want to leave the security of my 9-to-5, knowing mm-hmm. that 9-to-5 paycheck is there. I just want to say that if you are in the mindset that you eventually do want to be an entrepreneur or you want to have your own business on something, you will find a way to eat.
And I think back to of like the time in during the pandemic when I wasn't making anything. I mean,
yeah,
Josh saw me cry so many tears, you know, yeah. I'm like first time mom, postpartum, that's the tough. World shut down. Like it's just a whole thing. It was all the emotions, lose all my commission, you know? And, but I'm like, he was so gracious and patient with me during that time. Mm-hmm. And he still believed in the dream. Like he never gave up on me pursuing the dream. And he was like with me in the ashes. Like we're just sitting there in the ashes. He's with me. And
that's your partner. That's your ride and die.
Like, yeah, I know. And he's like championing me. And especially like now, I mean, he's still like that. Like he now has a full-time job. And he's still just like my biggest cheerleader. And I think sometimes, you know, you do go through those like valleys and you have to stick it out with your person. And I'm like, he stuck it out with me in 2020. So I got to stick it out with him,
right?
You know, and kind of, you're going to make those kind of seesaw sacrifices, but.
And yeah, to your point, those valleys that you're talking about, a lot of the times we make them bigger than it really is. Mm-hmm. Those valleys, exact valleys that you're talking about. It's just moments in time,
right?
But the pain doesn't have to last that long. And right. I feel like if you understand that, and like you said, you ash it out with your husband or your wife,
right.
You know,
right.
You go through it, you're going to, hey, listen, it's bound to happen at any given time. Nothing's ever going to be perfect and you're never going to be riding this wave of, you know, like butterflies and rainbows and everything.
Absolutely
is
not.
Wonderful.
Right.
But yeah. But I like that. I like what you said. If you're in that valley, just know, stick it out. Now I'm learning to do that a little bit better because I noticed that lately I'm starting not to feel so good about being too far away from my family.
Mm.
Like it's starting to like trigger me a little bit now. Mm-hmm. Like I'm in Jersey, my family's in Florida. So we're in this valley of like, okay, like every day is great. You know, I tough it out. I'm very good at that. I'm very good at toughing it out. Right. But there's always like that point. Right. And that's where you have to know, okay, are we having a conversation or are we going to just freak out completely? Right. 100%. But I do want to wrap up with you that this was such a beautiful story, such a beautiful conversation. And I know that when we first met, you said, I know that, you know, we want to talk about traveling, which Allie's coming back. Allie's coming back, everybody.
I'm so excited.
She's coming back to talk to us about travel because I'm planning my vacation next year. I haven't started yet, but I will. Right. And I think Allie's going to have a lot to do with that. But I do want to ask you, you know, after everything that you've gone through, after all of these reflections, if you could talk to that version of yourself in the beginning of this, what would you tell her?
I kind of feel like you have to go through it. Like you have to be forged by the fire. I kind of feel like that there's this level of yourself that you have to achieve. And it's really one of those things, you know, if you're like a God-fearing person, I really feel like that speaks to me, but it's like, okay, the Lord intended me to be this level of person. Right. And in order to get there, I just had to go, I had to be forged in the fire. And, you know, in the season of being in the fire was, yeah, it was sad. It was depressing. Yeah. You're doubting yourself. You're overworking yourself. You know, you're wondering if it's worth it. You have tons of mom guilt. But looking back on it now, it's like, this is the person that I was meant to be. You know, this is who I'm supposed to be. Like, I'm living in the like dream now, yeah. You know, and I couldn't have ever been this person if I didn't go through that. And I tell people that too, like, I'm like not a motherly person. I'll be really honest. Like, I love my kids, but you know, some people are like Mother Earth.
Right. I love that. Mother.
Yeah, they're Mother Earth. I am not that way. Like, I'm like, all right, you know, pull your boots up. Like, let's go. That's just the kind of mom that I am. And, but it's funny because whenever I had both my babies, I was like super called to have them naturally. I like did not want to have drugs. I wanted to have them naturally. And it was kind of the same idea in my head of like, this is going to be painful. Like, this is going to be a lot, but this is what I'm meant to do. Like, this is the purpose I've been called to. And once I went through that pain, I was like, I'm like a badass, you know, it's like, okay. Let's go. Like, yeah. You really feel like you can just do anything. So I don't know. It's something about like that. I feel like there's like a meme or something of just like someone like just walking out of like a firestorm, you know, just like all the soot. And
you
everything.
Have to send that to me. If you find it,
we'll find it.
Please DM that to me on Instagram, yes. ASAP. Because I can't wait, yes. to see that.
And you have like, you know, the white, like torn tank top. And it's just like, I don't know. Something about that is like, it's so empowering.
Yeah.
Because you start to, the doubts, yeah. start to go away. The fear starts to go away. And you're just like, no, like I was meant to do this. So that's what I could tell. That's what I would love to tell myself, like 2020 self, new mom, yeah. just wallowing in my sorrows.
Well, I still feel that this current version of you, you know, I'm glad that I met this current version of you because I also feel like we would have never met if, you know, right. if you didn't talk yourself into all of these things that you've done. Where can my listeners find you?
Yeah. So I would love for you to follow me on Instagram. That's probably where I'm like the most real and raw, especially about all my travel journeys. So it's at Allie Picture This Travel. And then my website's also a great place to go find more about what I do and how I service my clients. So that's AlliePictureThisTravel.com.
Awesome. And for everybody out there, my biggest takeaway from this conversation is that being a breadwinner is so much more than a financial title.
Yes, absolutely.
I feel like it's an identity, it's a responsibility, and a constant act of trying to integrate, balance, communicate, the whole thing. Honestly, I feel like it should be a job description at this point. But I really want to thank you for being so open with me and sharing your story. And I can't wait to have you back for all the travel stuff we're going to talk about. I'm so excited. I can't wait.
And for
everyone out there listening, thanks again. And until next time, see you soon.